Hello, welcome to the British Tech Network's Mac Show. Yes, this is post-bash. We had an awesome weekend. Where were you? Because we had a great time. It was absolutely fantastic. We had loads and loads of people there. The sun shone on us. It pissed down all the way up to Friday. Then it was glorious sun till Monday, and then it pissed down again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see? The sun always shines on BTN. You want the good weather? Follow BTN. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on, it's Doc Rock, who couldn't get up at 4 a.m. last week for a show with Gazmaz.
Okay, I'm going to let that slide, but yeah, this has been good, been busy, having fun. Sad that I couldn't come all the way there for the bash, but, you know.
You will be. You'll be here next year.
If I came all the way there, I would have been sad because Manchester is in, you know, what's you call that place in China? Beijing.
Yeah, but they're also crap at the moment as well, which doesn't help.
It's preseason. Everybody's crap.
No, they were crap last year. Next to him, it's a very French impressionistic feel that you've got there, Andy, with his beret on. Andy and Echo, how you doing, mate?
Well, I started drinking at 10 a.m., so I figured that. And I'm going to be taking a two-hour lunch after this, so I thought I'd get into the spirit of the things.
Excellent, mate. That's what we need. Yeah. A bit of the Renaissance showing through. How you been, buddy?
Also, you could have gone, like, if I just go kind of like this and don't shave for a few days, I could go, like, Che.
Yeah, that would work.
Can't you just picture me on a dorm room wall somewhere by people who don't understand that I actually formulated the concept of the modern concentration camp?
I got to say, Boston's about due a revolution, isn't it?
We did so well with the last one, though.
Throw the Virginia hands in the harbor.
Not a whole lot of odds in our favor, not a whole lot of resources. And that was when the British Empire, I mean, it was an empire with a capital M. So it's like we did it once. It's like a good artist knows when to put down their tools.
Excellent, mate. Jolly good. Artist, very good. Next to him, it's Mr. Vacation himself, the man who has not sat on anything other than an airline for the last month.
Yeah.
Adam, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. Sorry I missed the bash.
You've been on holiday.
Yeah, well, I was on holiday at the beginning of the month, and I guess sort of at the end of the month and working in between. Yeah, went out for Mac stock.
And how did it go?
It was amazing. It was a ton of fun. It was incredible, great people, great fun. Highly recommend it. And see, this is the problem, because you guys do the bash, and that's also the same month as MacStock, which is also the same month as Nerdtacular, so you guys are all putting me in a bind.
Well, it's because everyone's left school, haven't they? Or it's coming up to summertime, so it's a good time. You know, the work pressures lull a little bit.
Yep.
And actually, yep. There's some decent Mac news this week, which is strange.
Yeah. Adam definitely looks very relaxed.
He does. You do look. You've got that holiday feel. You look, you need a comp drink in your hands, and you're well away with an umbrella in it. Yep. Go get one.
He does have a nice glow about him. I thought he was pregnant for a second.
Yeah. A little break. Here. I probably
back
need
to Mac stock.
Adjust the lighting. It's been too long.
Came back with an infection and a baby.
Or he could be just one of those guys who is pregnant but isn't showing. Doesn't show for like 7 or 8 months.
Well, yeah, Mac. His stomach muscles are good.
A little shiny over here.
Next to him, it's my bash brother from another. It's Patrice. How you doing, mate? Well done for coming to the bash. You get top marks for commitment.
Hey, yeah, I was doing really great. I mean, it was really an amazing weekend. We had so much fun. I mean, meeting all the people, and I mean, your family is also awesome.
Thanks, man.
So
they loved your chocolates. You were a bit of you were a bit of a brown nose there, mate. But and it's not chocolate on the end of your nose. Now, we are also companions in Apple because we tried to set up two iPads with family sharing. How painful was that?
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, switching an iPad from one account to another and basically having to remember that the Apple ID is basically in a million places, and half of the time it doesn't even work.
So how many times did I type the password in for the account?
Too many. Way too many.
Dozens. Dozens, yeah. Literally. It was disgusting. It was awful. Even Patrice, fanboy himself, was saying that's a bit shit.
Yeah.
And last, Victor, another veteran of MacStock of last week. How you doing, mate?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I was there with Adam. Had a busy month too with vacation, releasing the CD. So it's been a busy month for me, man.
That's an oxymoron. I had a busy month with vacation.
Yeah, well, I'm retired, so that for me is work.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Good point. The Week in Apple, what's going on? What's been happening? Tim is going to hold a fundraiser for Hillary.
Well, duh. Let's see. It's either the one that's going to continue 8 years of progressive politics affecting pretty much every human being in the country that has been downtrodden at one point or another, or the guy who has said, you know what, how about we just ban 1.2 billion people from entering the country on the basis of their religion? How does that sound? Yeah, I think that he's kind of eager to, he knows who he wants to, who's in the best interest of Apple.
It is a bit of a Hobson's choice that you've got at the moment, though, isn't it?
No, Hillary had her speech last night, and it was the first one that kind of, I would say, was really effective. Her problem, such as it is that she has spent like 30 years of experience in public service and in government, accruing all kinds of experience and expertise in very, very many different levels. The one thing she hasn't really gotten the knack of is something that Obama is so good at, which is, at some point, you have to talk to the people and explain who you are, where you come from, what your priorities are, and why you think that it's not just the policies you're outlining, but here is the brain that I'm using, and here is I'm going to solve. Here are the tools I'm going to use to try to solve problems that I can't even imagine right now. And last night was probably the first time we kind of saw that. But you're right in the sense that polls do indicate that the people, this is an unusual election in that usually there's people, it's along party lines, and there's a group in the middle that could go kind of either way. This is one where if you are a supporter of, if you're not inclined to support Trump, you effing hate Trump. You do not, under any circumstances, want to see this person in office. And conversely, if you do not want Hillary, you effing hate Hillary, and you do not want to see her in office under any circumstances. So it's unusual. The negative numbers in the polls are unprecedented in American election.
So I'm a bit confused, mate. Let me get this straight. You're voting Trump, then, right?
Oh God, what a dodo. I mean.
I think it's a, because the thing, I mean, this is not a political show, but I thought her line last night was, do you want to elect a president who can be baited by a tweet and give him nuclear weapons? And I thought, well, yeah, that's okay, Hillary, but if Goldman Sachs pay you enough, you won't push the button either.
Well, okay, I doubt that. B, I mean, they're acting as, people who complain about that, they're acting as though Hillary Clinton is unique in the idea that someone who has a 30-year career in politics has not accepted money from major campaign donors and major companies. She did at least last night come out against that really stupid Supreme Court decision saying that donating to candidates is a form of free speech, and therefore corporations should not be restricted on how much money they can give to a candidate. So it's not as though she was like, it's not as though she's dancing around the, I think we should reform campaign financing. Mrs. Secretary, so you are opposed to that ruling. Well, I feel like we should do whatever it takes, but do you oppose that ruling? I'm really thinking a lot about a lot of different. No, she came out strongly against the thing that most people think have really, really buffed up American politics in a serious way. You're not going to be completely happy with any candidate, but in this case, good. And I will say that Hillary Clinton was not my first choice for a candidate, but for heaven's sake, you have a gold-plated Paul Troon, a certifiable idiot. I acknowledge this is a very much a limited, ignorant American understanding of many chiefs of state in Europe, but we're used to hearing like stories about how, you know, Italian prime ministers that like they're tax cheats, and they have sex with 18 people at once, and they have people killed. And we're like, isn't that amusing that you can be that, you can be at the head of it, you can be that weird and that, like, clearly not ready to run a country, and yet they will elect you. And Donald Trump is our version of Moscone. It's like, it's like, he is the person who's going to have, like, Here is the special add-on they're adding on to the White House as a place to put all the concubines and all of the mistresses. Underground tunnels that have been closed since JFK left office. It's just insane. That was, we cannot be proud of ourselves as a nation if he is elected. That's all I'm saying.
That was your second choice. Christ knows what we'd have gone on to if Bernie had won. Jesus.
Bernie was also
not... No, don't start on Bernie.
because again, he's good. From my point of view, he's the sort of candidate that is really awesome until about 4 months before the actual Congress, where you have to, you can say whatever you want, but at some point when it's 3 months before it's time to nominate somebody, you need to show that, okay, but let's say that you're not going to spend 4 years doing nothing but finance reform. Let's say that there is a situation someplace halfway across the world where the United States needs to intervene. Do you have any idea of what you would do under those circumstances? And that's not the time we say, the 1% of this country, I know, but again, they're North Korea, they have missiles, they've got a really nutty person who feels as though at any moment he could be taken over by his own generals and so could want to go out in a blaze of glory. Let's say that that really does boil over, what would you do? So that was my own problem with Bernie.
That's a 13-minute throwaway intro, done then.
Well, he asked a simple question about American politics in the presidential election year of 2016. That's not a yes or no sort of reaction,
Remind me never to do that again.
I blame you, Ewan.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, Ewan, I'll give you my answer. I'm with her.
Okay, that's fine. Apple has sold 1 billion iPhones. I don't want to go into too much on this, but it is a revolutionary project. So 1 billion is a bit of a landmark. Come on, guys.
Yeah, Apple likes the billion. They like to mark the billion of everything. So
they need Carl Sagan.
That's all we need to say on that. Though. I mean, it's a significant milestone, not to take away from it, but it's kind of Apple's thing. A billion iTunes, you know, a billion music downloads, a billion iOS, you know, devices in the world, a billion iPhones.
Someone needs to learn to do a Carl Sagan impression and do it properly, though, because no one on the history of the planet has said billion like Carl Sagan.
Yeah.
Are you all right, Andy? Are you still there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you didn't want me to participate anymore.
No!
you were sorry you asked me a question. I didn't want to ruin your podcast.
I thought you were eating a sandwich again.
I'm listening.
I thought you were eating another sandwich, dude. Sorry, man.
The amazing high-tech camera screen works for many, many things, such as when like my feelings have been hurt.
Hold on. I'm
going to say, you're a liar. You put a piece of paper over it.
Yeah,
I will have you.
They're all going.
It is a paper test box.
Hey,
the lies that come out of your mouth are just lying lies that a liar would say.
Black Skype camera lives matter.
So I mean, I think that
let's not go back there.
No, I think the iPhone is like a girlfriend, your ex-girlfriend. She's not perfect, but you can't stay away.
Well agreed.
That's it, isn't it? I've got it right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially.
And if my wife's listening, that's not true.
Right? Exact analogy before.
Yeah, no.
Maybe you got baseband.
I mean, the 1 billion sales is a good thing. What's it in comparison to? I mean, if you look at something like stupid, like Android phones going at 400,000 a day. But the thing that's interesting is that with Android phones, you haven't got an iconic product that's done a billion, have you? You've got, you know, the Galaxy hasn't done a billion, I guess, maybe, or maybe has done a billion, I don't know, but they haven't shouted about it, but I thought they would.
Well, it's hard to do an apples to oranges sort of comparison, because we really are talking about every single phone that runs iOS is one of the two or three phones that Apple releases in the course of a calendar year, whereas every other phone practically is an Android phone. So we're talking about both the $700 Samsung phones that Can compete directly feature for feature and build for build with the iPhone, all the way down to the blister packed flip-out phones that can be that are affordable by everybody in the world who can't afford a $700 phone. So it's really silly to compare them point to point. Even when you're even when it's an Android fan trying to say, oh yes, but you know the Apple's market share in the phone space is down, and well, no, again, it really is the iPhone versus every other phone ever made. So that's not something
you should really compare. Yeah, that's the thing I was going to say. You know, if you sell a billion of an icon, then a billion of an icon is something that's incredibly special.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I think one of the key thoughts to the process, too, and I guess for me, you know, as somebody who was working at Apple at the time the phone came out and sort of listening to all of the noise of the spiraling, the drain, and all of the other, you know, crap that was going on about that time frame. And you think about it as, you know, here was basically a company that everybody had basically stabbed dead to rights. Like, it's done. Like, you know, like, we'll give them one more chance on the defrib because the wife's watching, but we pretty much know that they're ghosts. And then the doctor hears a little deep, 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 deep. He's like, oh, you know, they got a chance. And then now, look, you know, a billion of anything. You don't care what you're selling. A billion of anything is pretty amazing. But a billion phones and a billion of something that, for all intents and purposes, is a minimum of $600. You know, you know, counting subsidies and whatever, you know, how you want to match it up. But, you know, basically, that's just an amazing feat in general. And I don't think anyone could ever think from a long time ago that Apple would, A, still be around today or be top dog today. And I think those are more impressive stats than just the singularity of selling a billion phones.
Yeah. I mean,
it's the most amazing comeback since Leicester City.
Apple hasn't invented the more expensive phone, but they have made it mainstream. I mean, nowadays, there are people who are buying cheaper phones, and usually Android, most Android phones, but not all of them, are cheaper. But Apple basically introduced a high-end phone, and really a huge majority of, huge chunk of people wants to buy that. So they, I wouldn't say they introduced the high-end market, but they definitely, as I said, made it mainstream.
Yeah. Well done, Apple, for introducing the iPhone. And what was cool as well, do you remember when we got when I got my iPad Pro and I bemoaned the fact that the SIM tool was just a bent paperclip? We got LX6S at the weekend, and they've gone back to, it's not a piece, it's a piece of pressed metal, but it's not liquid metal. It's not as nice as the first one, but at least it's not a bent paperclip, so well done,
Apple. Man, I cherish my original ones. They're, I have them well placed, so they never get lost.
You wouldn't cherish the one I've got, mate. It's a bent, it is actually a bent paperclip, and it's something that Scully would have made.
Okay, let's also point out that that's an item that if you can't find one, you can get one in about 10 seconds locally. And maybe find one around your house, as opposed to, okay, well, I wanted to swap out my SIM tool. I'm either going to have to go back to the phone store or order one from Amazon. They'll only cost $2, but it's going to be 3 days.
You missed my point there, I think, Andy. My point is...
Intentionally.
Steve that would make Jobs you feel bad about yourself. Steve Jobs would have had people hanging from a gibbet in the center of Infinity One if they'd have come up with the idea of, why don't we just make it out of a bent paperclip, Steve? That tool is the epitome of everything that goes wrong with Apple. You know,
right.
Steve would have gone mental if someone had suggested a paperclip, and that's the attention to detail, you see. That's what I'm saying. That's the device that Scully would have made.
Let's not just manufacture a special tool. We'll make a special tool out of a special material that nobody will notice or care about.
No, but I think,
I'll notice and care about it.
So there's a company, right?
I'm sorry, I'll let you talk.
There's a company, right, who look at the market and they look at the value of life, if you like, as in how people value their life at the moment, whether they're feeling up or whether they're feeling down. And they look at stuff like the sale of Titleist golf balls, because if people are feeling affluent, they buy more Titleist golf balls, and if they don't, then they go and buy the cheaper brands, you know, like Strixen and those kind of things. And they look at those intangibles in society, and then they predict how the economy's feeling underneath from them. And I think that tool is the microcosm of the health of Apple, because Steve would never have done that. Steve would never have released a piece of shit tool like that. If it wasn't perfect, it wouldn't have gone out.
I can argue with this perfect. realize that the iPhone 1 had a not, because they wanted to have a curved side to it, it would not accept any standard headphones without a special little dongle attached to it. That's not perfect. That's not
right.
No. But so, that's the point. Once you've got to that perfection, once you've got that standard, you never let that slip. That was my point. Anyway, there you go.
To Andy's point, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I mean, the point is that they very often let that slip, even under Steve Jobs. I think you're reading way too much into it.
Oh, okay, fair enough. My mistake.
I agree. There are millions of these things sitting in boxes right now. No one gives one shit about any of them. I assure you, sir.
Victor said shit.
Sorry. I didn't know if this was a queen or not.
In the UK, he drops it first.
I don't want to confuse people.
I've got Andy saying effing. I've got Victor saying shit. Yes.
So I think
you obviously really don't know me.
what we're really hearing here is we need everybody who is listening who has one of these things in a box to just send it to you. And
yeah, definitely. I'll make a little wall out here. That's, you know. Tim Cook is optimistic about iPhone 7 sales, and he sees signs that are positive. I've got Tim sacrificing a chicken and throwing the bones on a golden plate and sprinkling a bit of blood and stirring it with his extra long thumbnail, and looking at the future here, because what signs are there that the iPhone 7 is going to be positive in sales, other than the fact that Apple have made more money yet again last quarter?
If you're seeing signs, you should go to the psychiatrist.
You have to define positive in sales. He didn't outright come and say that we're going to sell more units or we're going to do more dollars. So you have to first define the definition of positive in sales. Positive in sales means that we sold a boatload and we made a bunch of money, which is going to happen.
He's saying that the iPhone 7, which has not been released yet, so many signs that are positive, unquote. And there's a quote in the story that I've got here sure. on Mac Rumors. And this is, I haven't got a clue what he's saying here. I don't want to talk about new phones that aren't announced. That aside, what we've seen in the past tense or in current tense on the upgrade rate is that the iPhone upgrade rate for the iPhone 6S is similar to the iPhone 5S. What the hell does that mean? iPhone 6 was significantly higher than that, and it likely accelerated upgrades that would have been in the current year ahead of those. What the future holds, we'll see. But I'm very optimistic about the future because I see so many signs that are positive. How to talk for 20 cents for 40 words and say sod all?
I think that's preparing for
presidential because people should stop asking him questions they know he's not going to answer. So simple. So I agree with everything he just said. I'm going to just spin you some dust so you would shut the hell up and stop asking me the same questions every year when I have never answered this question and we're burgeoning on the 10th year anniversary of the phone. So yeah. Don't ask me.
So Tim says the chicken bones have fallen well.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you listen to Tim Cook interviews, that is what he usually does. And to a degree, that is a job of a CEO. He basically, I mean, if he gets asked the usual questions, yeah, and I mean, he obviously can't answer
we'll
them.
Start.
He shouldn't answer them.
Carry on, sorry. Let's carry on, Patrice.
I mean, if he gets asked the usual questions, then that's what he has to say. He can say, hey, the new iPhone is coming, and these are the features, and I mean, yeah,
and
at the end, he's reading tea leaves anyway, because even he can't predict the future.
Exactly. He certainly can't say it in an investor call either. I mean, you have to put into context where he was at. He's not going to be able to throw out any kinds of numbers that aren't already in the prepared statement. I mean, he can't do that with the investors on the line.
Also, this isn't like a press conference where he can later on say that, oh, I'm sorry, I spoke off the cuff and I misspoke. There are legal consequences to releasing any information that is not provably true. That's a good point.
Yeah, no, it's why I'm doing an interview if you can't say what you think, though.
That's not an interview.
It's. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I interrupted. Go ahead.
Sorry. No. Andy, you go ahead because I think you're going to say the same thing that I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, there's a purpose to this, and the reason why our community kind of laps this up is that it really is probably the only chance all year long in which Tim is in a room, or at least a virtual room, with people who can ask him questions that have not been vetted beforehand. And this is one of the reasons why you get a lot of those questions, because even the way that he denies confirming an Apple Watch next year, for instance, or denies confirming a car, is at least information that you can then use or might be able to lend color to other information. Mm-hmm. It's only a month ago that I was really taking stock after having a casual conversation that bordered on an interview with an executive at another company. I walked away from there thinking, wow, you know that I have had interviews with like Apple executives, but it's been such a phenomenally rare and controlled thing that I tend to think that it's normal. Whereas with every other company, if I need to talk, get a quote or get some information from a Google executive or a Google engineer, I go through channels or I go indirectly, but eventually I get the information that I need. So this is why Apple is a very, very unique company in that you're just not in a position where you can just simply ask a question and they can get an answer from them directly. So, but as a result, we forget that this is a shareholder meeting. This is not. I'm sorry. This is a procedural sort of thing that they're doing here. It has nothing to do with an actual press conference.
No. Definitely. Yep. Apple's hard-nosed negotiating tactics are causing issues with trouble leading into the television market. Who's got a dog with a big lead on? Is that yours, Victor?
No, I don't think so.
Tinkling going on.
Never mind. I have a dog, so that could be him or her, but I'm not sure.
Apple's hard-nosed negotiating tactics lead to trouble in television market. Apple's assertive negotiating tactics have made it difficult for the company to establish deals with cable providers and networks, says the Wall Street Journal.
So not surprising. Apple's hard-nosed negotiating tactics cause issues with everybody they have negotiating tactics with.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I don't...
What areas are they falling down, though, with TV? I mean, they could be a content manufacturer, and they're not going to be, probably. They could be buying any show they like or any TV network they like. They could buy HBO and not bat an eyelid.
Yeah, that's not what they're interested in. I mean, they're interested in the shows and the content, and the gist of this story is that apparently they are demanding lock-ins on per-user rates for shows that are longer than content creators are used to having. Typically, they'll do a year contract and then the rate is renegotiated dependent upon the number of people watching the show, I guess. And so that way, if you know the show is having lower numbers, they can, in the next year, sort of get more money per watcher, per user. If they need to, so they can kind of readjust and redo their budgets. But Apple's saying, no, we want, you know, longer than 1 year. We want two-year lock-ins or three-year lock-ins on these rates. And Hollywood has never done that before, and they're not interested in doing that.
I mean, typically you've bought shows on season runs, haven't you? Whereas, do you think Apple are trying to look at a per-user scale?
No, I mean, that's what they do, apparently. I don't know much about the industry, but based on what was reported in this story, it sounds like that's how it's negotiated. Is we think the show is going to do, you know, this many viewers, and you're going to pay this rate per viewer for licensing this show or getting this content.
Yeah, but that's my point, is that the traditional model is you buy the season at the value that the person stipulates, and Apple here is applying a music model of we only want to pay you for what people look. So if you produce a crap show and we get very few low views, we're not standing the cost of buying your crap series at a season value.
Yeah, again, I don't know, but the way the reports make it sound is like this is par for the course about how content is sold in Hollywood. Like, this is not a new... Apple's not making up a new way of buying shows. This is how shows get bought and sold. But again, I don't know. I'm only taking it away from what was reported in these stories. I haven't done the research, and maybe you know differently. I don't, well, or maybe somebody else does.
Here that Apple is seeking $10 a month per subscriber from cable providers, which seems quite high, even though you're getting ripped off for it. But.
Yeah, it's Apple's in a tough negotiating position too, because cable television does not need Apple. It's still, we talk about the importance of the volume of people who are switching, the how so much of the television is going into IP. But still, if you are a cable, if you are like TNT, if you are Turner Classic Movies or the Food Network, you are making most of your money off of simple, basic cable subscription fees. So none of these networks need need Apple in any way, shape, or form. If they need anybody, they need they need something like Netflix that has real penetration, that has support for pretty much anybody who manufactures any device with a screen, or any device that has an HDMI output port can run the Netflix app. It's built into television sets. Apple has has to really think hard about what kind of a advantage they're going to offer these content creators, that we have no experience whatsoever in delivering televised content on a subscription basis. We only support platforms that have an Apple logo on them. Now we're going to dictate our terms to you, under which we will allow you to, you know, and vice versa. Apple's making a bloody fortune on everything else. They don't necessarily need to strike these deals to make the Apple TV into a success. So this is not the sort of thing where anybody is motivated to give concessions or to settle for anything less than what they think will be a big, big success for them personally.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing about this whole scenario, is exactly what Andy just pointed out, is Apple doesn't need the content necessarily, and the content creators don't need Apple. So I can imagine how these negotiations go. It's like you got two people on either side that really don't give a rat's if the other one gets their way or not. So,
but you know, like it was mentioned, though, it sounds like they're definitely using the music model. Because if you come to me wanting to use one of my songs in your production, then I'm going to ask you how many downloads or how many plays, streams, and then I'm going to give you the pricing based upon a formula of that. So it sounds like they're using that exact same model, because it's a pretty proven model and it scales well.
Which the studios don't need to do, because the studios sell by season. Here's all the films you need to show that season. Away you go, Channel 4, Sky Atlantic, whatever the output level you is. And you buy the season from them. You don't buy the number of people who watch it.
Well, I think it may work differently in the States. This may be a different way of selling. I don't know that it's universal. Again.
Allegedly, everyone's suggesting and pointing to September 9th for the Apple event. Or something around there, maybe the week before. They're talking about iPhone 7 and 7 Plus pre-orders starting on September the 9th. There's also a rumor of Watch 2 being available on September 9th. Feels about right time, doesn't it?
Do you mean hardware or just operating system?
Hardware.
Operating system, yeah.
Hardware.
Okay. I don't see about the new watch just yet, but I definitely, the timing on the phone is the same as the timing on the phones always has been. And it's kind of like clockwork to me, because I normally get the announcement a few days before the birthday, and I'm able to get it for the birthday like a week, 10 days exactly later. So, but I don't think the new watch is a go just yet.
Well, the thing is, if they'd have said that the Apple Watch was coming at a 12-monthly interval, I'd have been a bit pissed off at that, because that's too soon. But 18 months, I'm into the kind of lower end of where I'd be going, okay, yeah, 2 years would be good, but 18 months I can live with.
Yeah.
Well,
it seems like a crazy place to introduce something new.
Go on, Andy.
I'm not 100% convinced that Apple's ready to release Watch 2 yet. I think that it's when we look at the differences between they're bringing in the new version of Watch OS, it makes it very, very clear that if they didn't believe that before the release of the first watch that they're going to have to experiment a little bit to figure out what people want, they're going to have to put something in the field and then respond to that. I think that showing the differences between just the basics of how the new watchOS works compared to the previous one shows that they are listening a lot and they're trying to collect a lot of information. I'm not 100% convinced that they know what hardware a second version of the what features the second version of the hardware would have to have in order to respond to The features and the interactions that current users are responding to. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did a new hardware announcement in January, February, March, April for shipment sometime in the spring. Because mm-hmm. if all they do is do we add a little bit more extra RAM, we gave you CPU yeah. bump, that's not really worth all the attention that they would give to a new hardware release. Whereas yeah. if they did, we've put in not a modern GSM radio set, but basically sort of a phone chipset that pretty much is just there to support voice calls and text messages, or just very 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 slow bandwidth text, very very slow bandwidth digital transmissions, because they would think that this doesn't have to be downloading streaming video. All it has to do is be able to receive events and receive messages from other apps elsewhere. So they would have to really think hard about what they would want to do about it. I think they're more eager to make it slimmer. Yeah. I think they're more eager to bump up the battery life to 2 or 3 days. And mm-hmm. I'm not sure that they're ready to do that in September.
Mm. Yeah. And I think, I mean, just remember, Apple is setting expectations now. The next release they will whenever it will be, that will set the expectation from people when the following will come out. So if it's 2 years, people will expect another 2 years. They can always change that to less than that, but if it's longer, people are usually a little bit beefed. So I think it's really about what expectations Apple wants to set, and also what Apple thinks how the buying habits of people are. I mean, with phones, they said it's usually a year or 2 years because of contracts. That's why they had this S and non-S cycles. With Macs and so on, it has been usually also a year or 2 years. But with the Apple Watch, we don't know yet. And yeah, it will depend on what Apple thinks, how people buy it.
I think the OS upgrade is an important one, because I know yeah. from my viewpoint, I've found the watch a bit of a disappointment in terms of it hasn't fitted in with anything that I do in terms of my life or my workflow. And, you know, I was talking to a customer at the weekend, and he was saying, well, you know, but how do you use your calendar and stuff like that? I'm like, well, okay, yeah. So I see you've got minute-to-minute meetings where it's really good because it gives you notifications. It tells you room numbers, where you've got to go. I do a day's work, and that day is the day. That is the calendar entry. I only charge by the day, so it would never work for me. But I think the other thing is that Apple have clearly shown that they've looked at the user interface and gone, do you know what? It's not working. Let's throw it out. Let's start again. We've got a new user interface coming into it, and you know, glances are gone and all that kind of stuff. And I think they've got to give that time for bed in, because that'll be what makes people go, oh, actually, this wasn't a waste of money. It is worth me buying the next version.
Yeah, plus Apple is in a great position just with the design of watch bands. I can't believe I keep coming back to the brilliance of the watch band design yeah. and not looking at anything that's digital about it. They can actually kind of rev the watch by simply introducing really cool, stylish bands and get people excited in a new way about it. Because if think about the first release, where it was, here are the bands that are available for the first couple of months directly from Apple. You can spend $500 for a steel band, or you can have a cheap rubber plastic one that comes free with it, or you can have a $200 band that looks kind of like it really should be about $30 from eBay. And now that they have a whole range of styles that make you think of it in a whole new and different way, they don't necessarily, it's not like the iPhone where if they sit out a year, it seems as though they're treading water or falling behind. And like I said, Apple get to set the release schedule watch. They may decide that we don't want to set expectations for a regular schedule, because the Apple and its hardware is to try to break itself from having something show World Expo in January, or having to release a new note every May, having to release a new iPad when people are expecting it. So I wouldn't be surprised if they said we don't want the volume level anymore.
Apologies for the sound quality there, because based on the fact that everyone line's gone into porn downloader vision, it's obviously me that's downloading the porn this week and not everyone else.
No, I blame Mother Mugger because he's screwing up the chat room.
Mother, what are you doing?
Benny, and I want the whole country to know that I'm getting him a bottle of 10-year-old and that manual finished top four. Wait. Things were getting really needed.
I, can, well, I can't hear. I can't hear what any of you are saying. What have you done, Muller? What have you got running, man?
He says Man United will finish in the top four.
Right, look, mate, I got no bandwidth. How can I have 200 meg a second and got no bandwidth?
I'm only talking.
Right.
I'm totally frozen.
It's, this is all over the shop. Jesus Christ.
It's just way more hit.
And it's on the main feed. I have no idea what's going on. Right, we'll find an edit point, don't worry. So, the first stills, if you like, have come out of the dongle that's going to do lightning to 3.5 mil jack in the iPhone 7.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, you love it.
I love it.
What you need is another dongle for your web thing.
I'll use Bluetooth headphones. I don't care that much about the audio. This is kind of a non-issue for me.
Someone recently said to me, "How do you recognize an Apple user because of with the back of dongles?" Yeah, he's.
I have that. Along. I think I've shown you guys my little case. Best Christmas present ever for $10.
Yep. Yeah. I've been looking through. I've been trying to figure out over the past year if I've just been missing this big, amazing cultural exodus away from wired headphones. And honest to God, and so whenever I'm in like in the city, I really do pay close attention to how many wired headphones do I see versus wireless ones. And it's never better than a 10-to-1 ratio of wired to wireless. And usually the wireless headphones are really hard to spot. Last time I actually saw more folding bicycles than Bluetooth headphones.
Than Bluetooth headphones, yeah.
Yeah, now that's the interesting thing, because there is a stat, of course, there's always a stat, that says that Bluetooth headphone sales have exceeded wired headphone sales for the first time this month.
If you're talking about dollar per unit, sure.
Yeah.
Also, that's not a stat. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Even if that's true, I mean, even if in sheer numbers, not in dollars, just in sheer numbers, there are more wireless headphones being sold than wired ones. There are a gazillion wired ones already out there, and it will take a long time to replace all of them, I think. Yeah.
Here's
people voluntarily choosing them? Like, is it just a second thing they'd like to have for those indications when they want to have wireless headphones?
Well, are they going out every day wanting to take wireless headphones?
Yeah, I mean, my thing with the dongle is that if you look at that design, it looks like an Apple design. If that's it, you know, somebody commented, "Oh, I'm going to lose the dongle immediately." I would imagine that most people have one or two pairs of favorite wired headphones, and why wouldn't you just get the dongle, attach it to the headphone, and just leave it attached?
Exactly.
Or just not have a phone that requires a dongle and not have anything to forget to begin with.
Sure.
I'll tell you that my big problem with it is that the only way that I think that Apple can credibly get away with this is if they make a really good case for why this is good for the consumer. Because if all they've got to say is that we are cultural aesthetes and it offended our poor little sensibilities that there was another hole in the case that we could replace by... that we could eliminate. Or if they say, look, we managed to actually reduce our component cost per unit, or this makes it easier for us to design an iPhone board because we have a little bit extra room inside there because we don't have to have a headphone jack. That's not good enough to take a world full of people that listens, that has chosen to listen to their iPhones via wired headphones, and say that we're not going to let you do that anymore.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I had to do it, but working in a jeans bar, one of the things that came in pretty much every day, we were good for a minimum of five, is busted 3.5s inside the puka. Sorry, I always use Hawaiian words.
Yeah.
Inside the hole. So I can just imagine that, and that was during iPhone 1, 2, 3, 3G, and beginning of 4. So I can just imagine what it's like now when the sheer volume of phones has like quintupled at that time. If we were doing four broken headphones in a puka a day, it must be somewhere in neighborhood to 20 to 30 now. So, I mean, I can see the case for it. And, you know, everyone immediately goes to what they're doing it for the money. That little bit of money is not going to make them another, you know, gajillion dollars. So I don't think that's the case. But I'll be so happy not to have to use
it. I can't see how you snap off a 3.5 when this is a significantly smaller and more easily broken connection. That's no logic.
Well, I think the primary thing is you won't use it as often. You'll use it, so that limits your chances, you know. But you're right. I mean, it seems like the dongle would stick out more. And a lot of it had to do with those LifeProof people. Like, it was swear they were always happening to the LifeProof people because they were using that stupid tether. And then so considering the popularity of LifeProof cases and some other cases like it, there have been the tether for quite a long time.
So I put my tinfoil hat on this week, and I thought to myself, what could this be other than the obvious? And I got it in my head that this was the DHCP by the back door, because the music industry wants control again, wants DRM again, wants to go back to the old models. And Apple, if you want an Apple Music, then you've got to put in the Lightning connector, because then we can digitally verify that this is owned by. And then I thought to myself... That's not, if there's a dongle that goes to 3.5 mil, then I've just talked myself out of it completely. It's such a bollocks. Yeah. But
there is one element of that. Realize that the headphone jack, the headphone jack is also the only opportunity that hardware manufacturers have to manufacture an accessory for the iPhone that does not have to go through the MFI program. I remember that the Square card reader was something you plug into the headphone jack. It wasn't something that you plug into the Lightning connector. I don't think that's the reason why, in and of itself, Apple would delete the headphone jack. But I think that when they're arguing amongst themselves if that's a good idea or not, I think that's definitely something that inside Apple would be considered a pro.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is this is probably happening. And to Andy's point, you know, I do think there's going to be a certain Sorry, the stream just came back on. I think to Andy's point that there's going to be a certain percentage of iPhone owners that will not upgrade because it doesn't have a headphone jack, or may even move to another platform because it doesn't have a headphone jack.
Yeah. You know, another huge inconvenience of this is, believe it or not, there are still a lot of people have older cars and don't have access to do Bluetooth or any other connection other than that quarter inch. And so now you're on a long trip. You have no other way of charging your phone at the same time. I mean, it's just creating unnecessary inconvenience for the consumer for the sake of design. I don't think it's a good way to go. And I'm certainly not an advocate of it, even if this is the design. I think you're just asking for more trouble, unless they're coming up with some incredible piece of hardware in a headphone that can replace the functionality that a lot of us like. But headphones are pretty personal. People like what they like, and that's what they're used to. And I think this is going to create people not upgrading to the next version, at least not for a while.
Yeah, we shouldn't assume that Apple is going to do this the way that they would update like the iPhone 6, the iPhone 6s across the line. It's possible that this is going to be sort of like a MacBook Nothing upgrade, where, yes, boy, what a pain in the butt that it's a USB-C connector. There's only one of them. It has all these other disadvantages, but they didn't. It's not as though they removed the power connector from every single MacBook they make. Apple. It's possible that Apple's going to have like a special, distinct. I don't want to say iPhone Pro, but imagine something that they are marketing as a distinct item, where there'll be an iPhone 7 and an iPhone 7S. Both of them will be conventional updates, but then there'll be the iPhone 7SE, let's say, in which they say there's going to be a specific, we feel as though there's going to be a specific kind of user that is wants the slimmest phone possible, that wants the most stylish and jewel-like looking phone possible, and they are the sort of person that is probably already using Bluetooth headphones, or the unique design of this is the sort of thing where they're not going to figure that's going to be a big loss to lose the headphone jack. But if they, so on that basis, I don't think anybody could complain if they did it that way. But if it really is the only way to get an iPhone 7 is to get one without a headphone jack. Mm-hmm. And again, an Apple cannot say, here is why this is a good thing for you, the consumer. Here's a benefit to you, the consumer. as opposed to we are designers who are willing to design a remote control for a TV device that is jet black, that doesn't work, that you can't figure out where the buttons are, that you will accidentally touch press 100 times. If that's the only reason why they do it, then this will be a really huge and significant stumble for them, I think.
I'm
a little bit torn on this topic, because on the one hand, I absolutely am looking forward to not having the 3.5 inch, because I am not using it at all and have not in a couple of years, ever since I bought it, the PowerPoint.
Sorry, boys.
On the other hand, I agree with you that it might be too early for that. I mean, I was also the guy that was excited about the new Retina MacBooks not having a CD drive or DVD drive, because I had never used it and I haven't even missed it once. So I'm not the average guy. So as I said, I can't really decide. On one hand, I want Apple to do this. On the other hand, it might be too early.
Yeah, but my problem is that, like, to users like you, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people who have not used the analog headphone jack in a while, but has the presence of that jack ever been a problem for you?
The presence of it hasn't, but the absence will be.
That I have to fish out lint every now and then, yes, but other than that, no.
Yeah.
Does anybody put any stock in the argument that this is something to do with waterproofing and goes hand in hand with the rumor of the home button becoming a virtual button?
Not at all.
Hang on, because the current Galaxy, or the current Samsung advert in the UK is a guy dropping his Galaxy, come Samsung, into a bowl of water when he's waiting for an important phone call from a girl, and he looks at it and goes, "Oh my God," and then he pulls it out. It goes, "Hello," and it all works. So I think the peer pressure is about that.
Yes.
Yeah, the Galaxy 7 is actually IP6, or I don't know what the designation is, but it is waterproof to up to 30 minutes in about a meter of water, and meaning that's not just like some guy on YouTube. That is an actual certification that they paid for.
They did have a
problem with an early run of them having where the speakers got a little bit compromised, but that they identified that as a defect that we will fix, as opposed to that's a limitation of having more holes in the thing. So again, that's another argument that if Apple makes, there has to be a Q&A afterward in which to say, but Tim, why is Samsung apparently more clever than Apple?
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to their pitch as to why we need this for the best, most advanced, thinnest, whatever phone. I'm really looking for that pitch to consumers, because this one, they may have stretched it too far on this one, as far as I'm concerned.
What he will say, this is, we believe this is the future, and that's why we are dropping the port.
that will be the quote.
We believe this is the future.
Sorry, fellas, I just want to go back through the BTN history, and thanks to UK2, we can store all our shows. And I can go back about 2 months and find when these stories started and said, no, this is not okay. This is not what people want. And you all went, no, this is the future. You're talking out your arse, Ewan. And lo and behold,
I was not on that show.
Yeah, Andy was not here.
Andy wasn't on that one.
Fair to him.
But no, I know Doc was.
I'm not going to backpedal here. I certainly said that. What I likely said was, for me, this is a non-issue. I'm not worried about it. I will buy an iPhone without a headphone jack, and it won't be a problem for me. That's all I said.
Okay, I am taking my headphones off.
I'm sorry, guys. This is some. I'm sorry, guys. This is because we couldn't get the server going. Every sodden device in the room has decided to work on this for some reason.
So option clicked FDFU on the button in the top right hand corner of the Mac.
Oh man! Yeah, but that's, you're talking 10 Macs.
This is true. Anyway, I still agree with my original statement from 2.5 months ago. I am glad that it's happening. I hate headphone jacks, and I don't care.
Said the audiophile. Unbelievable.
Exactly, because that's exactly what I want it for. There's no reason why it won't make everything sound better. And then, so I'm stoked for it. And
getting back,
across the
there's
the
a reason
so
why it makes it make anything better.
So I have a question about this dongle, because I'm assuming, and I don't know, and this is why I'm going to ask the question, and hopefully someone here does know, and you'll save me at the time of doing the research. So this dongle is really small. You've got basically the lightning connector, you know, if it's an accurate thing, you've got a little short cable, and then you've got the round cylindrical part that the 3.5 millimeter jack plugs into. Mm-hmm. I would assume that dongle needs to have its own digital audio converter, DAC, or is that not the case?
Yes.
There's a lot of electronics just in the basic lightning connector. Yeah. If you were to break that apart, there is almost like an Apple IIe computer in there just to certify itself. So that's not a problem.
It just seems incredibly small because a number of people were commenting that if it was going to have a DAC in there, it would need to be sort of a larger, more bulky adapter. Uh-huh. So if Apple's been able to pull off, you know, like through Sirius Logic chips or something like that, a DAC in that small of a package, that's a pretty cool thing.
The one of the companies called TPath, TriPath, they make some really, really, really tiny DAC converters, and they were one of the best. And I remember a while ago for my tower, when I had my tower, they had the smallest board that you would ever see. You stick in the back plane, and you basically put this in your computer, connect the Molex connector, and you got a 15-watt TPath DAC converter that would basically take your Apple audio and allow you to plug in a pair of Bowers & Wilkins speakers or whatever, if you're not as good and you like crappy speakers. But you can plug these guys in, and you'd basically be running your house stereo off of your Mac. And I used to freak my friends out and be like, how do you do this? And like, this was circa, 2002? And so that was a long time ago. So I know for what TPath is making now, and what you find in these little small Bluetooth speakers and what like that, DAC converters are pretty tiny.
Here's a genuine question. For those of you who are not out and out fanboys and are going to buy the 7 regardless because you've got no sense, what is it going to take for you to want the 7? Because at the moment, the better camera, that would get me really, really interested. The losing the headphone jack, that kind of gets me uninterested a little bit because I like my headphones, don't get me wrong, and it's mostly because I forget them constantly, so I have to buy new ones at the store every time I go to the train.
And keep them charged.
I don't even go that far.
And even when it's your daily pair, when it's a daily pair of phones, nothing is as reliable as a copper wire. Plug it in as opposed to, I see in the menu that there seems to be a connection to Bluetooth, but nothing is coming out. Let me now stand in my driveway and spend 5 minutes debugging this instead of just actually leaving.
Well, here's my open question to the five of you that are not fanboys. What's it going to take you to upgrade to the 7? Because for me, the camera's not going to do it on its own.
I'll start. For me, it would take a significantly improved DAC as a result of this dongle, or if I'm using it wirelessly, significantly improved pulling this on the phone now. Second thing is going to be a plus 200 gig storage ability.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I would add the True Tone display.
Right, okay.
I'm going to say 256 gigs. iPad Pro. I definitely say 256 gigs. And even more speed. Like, as fast as the current phone is, I'm a speed freak, and that would just be awesome.
Doc, you would buy it if it was a lump of white dog poo on the side of the road with a SIM card in it. This question was not directed at you.
I will let you guys believe that, but that is definitely not the truth.
Definitely if it not were dog directed poo,
you would
at
be
me
able
either.
To put wired headphones into it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't do anything, care about the headphone jack left or right. Like, that's not a make or break thing to me. It's funny how people are turning it into a make or break thing because that's what they are. And whether people think it's not going to kill the iPhone.
Oh, sod off, Jack. Yeah. Jesus, sorry, guys.
For me, it's straight up. It's straight up in my business to be able to talk first person about any new feature.
Thank you.
I have to answer questions from listeners and things like that. So, I mean, it's a non-issue. I'm always going to upgrade.
Yeah, no, I get that. That's fine. I'm taking the mickey out, Doc. But if you're saying, Doc, that there is, I mean, I think the thing is that when you get to a certain point where your phone is doing what you want it to do, then actually people bringing out the next version, you've got to say, okay, well, it's got to do more than I currently want. And actually, I'm looking at the 6 that I've got at the moment, thinking I'm due an upgrade for the 7. And apart from 3D touch, which I'm really not missing because I've seen LSU on his 6S, I'm not bothered. So what is there that compels me to do it? And if my phone is still going to be as good as it is, still run all the programs I want, still be fast enough as it is, there isn't a compelling reason. And that's when things like the headphone jack become a compelling negative.
Yeah. Right. That's agreed. It's a valid point.
Yeah. It amplifies it.
Yeah.
I'm an absolute nut for camera phones. I love high quality camera phones. Even if the quality of the iPhone 7 camera is, I'm talking about a generation ahead of everything else. I'm not sure, given that every other camera phone is, every other premium camera phone is still superb, I can't think of a single feature they could add to the iPhone 7 that would make up for the day-to-day piece of crap inconvenience that, for me, having no headphone jack would create. It's not a problem if there are other makers or other models of 2016 level iPhones that I can get where I can get one with a headphone jack. But if my only choice is 2016 model iPhone without a headphone jack or anything else, I would probably, if I were still a day-to-day iPhone user, I would hold on to my iPhone for another year.
There you go.
And if this became Apple's policy moving forward, this would, if I hadn't already switched to Android, I would at least now be curious about what else I could get. And then I would be seeing these beautiful phones that have the same build quality as the current iPhone, cost $100 to $150 less, are running a version of Android that is absolutely the equal of iOS in terms of features, in terms of power. And that might pull me away from using the iPhone. I'll give you one last thing to start shouting at me about. I actually had there's another rumor about the new MacBooks that says that Apple is going to use the super flat, the new key switch design they have on the MacBook Nothing, and make that standard across the MacBook line. And I don't know if I lend any credence to that rumor, but I was thinking about it. And for the first time in my life, after a bunch of thought, I realized that there is now a credible scenario under which, when I need to buy a new MacBook in a couple of years or a year or two, that I would be buying something that is not an Apple MacBook, because I absolutely hate that keyboard. There is no getting around it. I tried to use it for 2 months, still hated it at the very, very end. My fingers just will not deal with it. And given the improvements that have been made in Windows, and given the quality of laptops that I can get at that level, it would be such a day-to-day, moment-by-moment problem, this keyboard, that if I did not have the option of not using that keyboard, I might, with great regret, have to deal with a computer that I don't really want to use, but has a keyboard that I can actually work with. These are the problems when you start to make these really basic-leveled changes to hardware, and you make it across the entire line.
It amplifies it. I think you're exactly right there, and exactly right.
So here's what I find extremely funny. I can roll back the clock, and I can find you a podcast from 2005 where my three longest listened to pundits on this show, the Andrew, the Victor, and the Adam, said, I can't believe they're taking the FireWire port out of the iPod. I can't believe they're taking the dial-up modem out of the iMac. I can't believe they're cutting Apple desktop bus. I can't believe they're cutting the serial port. I can't believe they're killing SCSI. I can find all you guys saying that for as long as you guys have been around, and it's not an issue now.
No, so it's not a non-issue.
Well, I agree that 13 years later, not having SCSI is not really an issue.
Right.
But that was only last week.
You had the job, Andy. You have been proven correct.
Anyway, but no, I just remember the conversations even as early as the optical disc. So, like, I remember these shows, and I remember hearing it, and I remember being somewhere washing up or taking a shower and going, yeah, that's kind of a mistake. Oh, no, nope, not going to matter. Nobody cares. And sure enough, like, I don't miss my optical drive at all. And I don't miss, you know, serial ports or floppy drives. You know, and granted, those are much older. And Apple always is first to make these things that become so normal now. And look at the HP Spectre. It is basically a MacBook Air painted gold and being advertised like crazy.
Yeah.
So eventually, people do come around. And yes, it's painful when you initially rip the Band-Aid. Just like it's painful when you were 14 and the girl you thought you were going to marry decides to go out with Ewan instead. Like, it happens, but people get over it quicker than you assume.
But I think the difference, Doc, this time around, too, is that, as Andy sort of appropriately pointed out, there are a lot of other options for people that are actually viable at this point, even if you're an Apple and a Mac fan. Like, you can get by if these things are now an issue for you, you do have good viable alternatives, things that you can go to, and it's not going to be that painful to transition. Whereas back in the day, if you were a Mac user and Apple said, we're getting rid of the floppy drive, you know, where were you going to go? You weren't going to go over to a Windows box at that point because that was just way too painful.
I don't agree with that. As much as I agree
I do want to jump in after you complete your comment. I just want to say that.
Okay. I mean, this argument, I've heard it really a lot, that this time it is different because... And it really isn't. I mean, when Apple dropped just recently dropped the DVD drive in the MacBook line, people were complaining about it. And people were saying this time it's different because there is another option. I can buy a PC or I can buy another MacBook or one of the old ones, or I can buy an iMac. No, that didn't have the DVD drive either. So I don't know. I can buy something else. It is a non-issue today.
Andy begs the point, go on Andy, the additional point
that I want to make though is that the reason why we are seeing machines like the HP Spectre today and other current generation Ultrabooks is that if PC manufacturers were to delete a feature that the majority of its users, a specific PC manufacturer, we're just saying we're making a brand new laptop that doesn't have a DVD drive, even though we know that most of you really want a DVD drive, that doesn't have a VGA connector, even though most of you seem to want a VGA connector, et cetera, et cetera. Guess what? There are 8 different PC manufacturers that will give these people the laptop that they want. And that's the reason why that we don't see a device like the Spectre today is because HP has to compete with every other manufacturer. They can only make computers that there is an actual market for. Apple is in an unusual situation in which they can say, if you don't like it, screw you. Or not screw you, but if you don't like it, if you would like to buy all new software and learn an entirely new operating system, you're welcome to do that. And so we can't ignore the fact that I think the iMac is a really good example of all this. They made some adjustments that were inconvenient, but definitely the right choice for consumers, such as we're not going to, instead of having our proprietary Apple-only Apple desktop bus connector for mouses and for keyboards and input devices, we're going to have USB. And we're also going to have USB because it allows us to delete a whole bunch of problematic hard drive ports and peripheral ports. So you're going to be able to, yes, it's going to be kind of a pain in the butt because your existing printers and stuff aren't going to work without adapters, but this is going to be a world with USB and it's all going to be great for you in the near future. That's great. The other thing that we have to look at, though, is that they deleted the floppy drive at a time where everybody needed floppy drives. If you have a computer in a school, you don't have a central server. Your kids have come to school with a floppy drive. Even in offices, you're using floppy drives. At home, you're backing things up on floppy drives. They didn't necessarily say that's where the world is headed in 2 or 3 years. What they said is that the iMac is still a computer that requires a floppy disk drive, but it's inconvenient and expensive for us to include that, so we're going to transfer that burden onto you, the user. That's what they did with the iMac. And if they were to delete the headphone jack without, again, a specific and for real consumer-oriented advantage, they are saying that our needs as a company and as designers are more important than your needs as users. We acknowledge and basically we are going to do this largely because we know that you're probably not going to hate this so much that you're going to stop using iPhones. That's what bums me out. If I could come up with, again, any reason they can come up with for this is why we think that this is the pro-consumer reason why we would be deleting a headphone jack, I'd be all for it. But I cannot think of a single thing that is not in the interests of Apple as opposed to the interests of the consumers.
I think that's a great point because I think one of the things that as a consumer, I forget my headphones on a regular basis. I have to buy them at a store on the way to where I'm going. If I forget that dongle, that option is gone because it's 25 quid. I've got to go to an Apple store. I've got to go to an Argus. I've got to go to John Lewis. And that thing is not available to me on the way to work, whereas a WH Smith will sell me a 3.5 mil jack easily. That's, and this is not the degree, the degree of access of a floppy drive is significantly lower than the degree of access of a 3.5 mil jack.
Yeah, it's about ubiquity here. We're talking about, you know, the 3.5 millimeter jack was introduced by Sony in 1964. There are millions and millions of these things around, and it's just, unless, I agree with Andy, unless there's a compelling argument, which I'm completely open to, but that's the difference between this or something like FireWire.
This podcast and all these is brought to you by UK2, because we're running out of time rapidly. if you can, please go and support UK2, because they support us. They have got, they've been brilliant to us. They've given us unlimited storage space, unlimited bandwidth. They've given us the live streaming server, which had to restart earlier. And Paul Wheatley wrote a script that worked and restarted it. Huzzah, Paul Wheatley. Thank you, mate. So please, please, please check out UK2 and tweet out as well. You know, thanks for supporting British Tech Network at UK2. And also, please check out Hoya. The Avantek lenses that I'm wearing are from Hoya, and they're bringing a new pair because I've had a new prescription, so I'll have those in a couple of weeks off mark. And go past your local optician and walk in and go, do you stock Hoya lenses? And if they go no, you go, shame, and walk away. That's all you got to do. that's all Hoya expects of you. So please check out UK2 and Hoya, because without them, we wouldn't be able to do this podcast and keep it as free as we currently do. Right, time for the cool thing. Don't spend too long in it, because we've only got 25 minutes before the big show.
I'll go first.
Because you've got to go.
Scrivener for iOS. The greatest word, my favorite word processor for the Mac is now available for iOS. It is the greatest word processor if you tend to write projects as opposed to like blog posts or short, quick things that require like you have to sort of think them out beforehand, and you have to have notes, and you have to develop ideas and develop chapters, and you have research, and you're talking to people. That it just has a million features like that. The iOS version might be the most sophisticated and simple iOS app I have ever seen in my life. It might be the greatest ambassador about the power of an iOS app on an iPad Pro I have ever seen, because this wasn't a case of like with Microsoft Word, for instance. Microsoft very smartly created a version of Microsoft Word that made sense for the iPad. So it's streamlined, it's simpler, it doesn't do quite as much. With Scrivener, I'll be darned, they managed to take about 80 to 90% of what the desktop app does, make it completely familiar to an existing user, and deliver that power right in the iPad. I can do almost everything that I would want to do from the desktop right here, and of course it's file compatible. So can't recommend it enough. I mean, I spent a grand on my 12.9-inch iPad Pro, and I really think that this $20 app has justified at least $300 of that expense. It is another reason why I can keep my MacBook at home and just travel with just my iPad. And also works with the iPhone.
Awesome. Excellent, mate. Great pick. Thank you very much for coming along. Cheers, sir. Can you say you got a hard out? Have you got to go before 9 then?
Yep, great. Bye.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. Bye.
Cheers.
Doc, give us your cool thing.
All right, so we've talked about works from these guys before, but I had the benefit of playing around with the newly updated Aurora HDR from MacFun. And this thing is super, super, super incredible. Basically, it's a standalone program that can also work as a plugin for Photoshop, Lightroom. I don't know why you're still using Aperture or above, but it will do the most incredible things with your HDR images. And it will, one of the things that I liked about it the most is it will give you amazing power from a single photo. So even if you took this one photo, it's like, man, this photo is almost perfect, but it just doesn't have that certain je ne sais quoi, compliments to Andy's beret. You could load it into Aurora HDR and a couple sliders, and you're like, holy crap, I'm Trey Radcliffe. No, you're not, but you'll feel like Trey Radcliffe. And it's just amazing. So definitely, I would say give it a try. You can try it out for free. If you want the professional version, it's $99. And thanks to Kevin and Adam for introducing me to something I've been cracking out on for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, the tip I'd give with that though, Doc, is don't buy the standard version, because it doesn't do RAW, and when you get the one that does do RAW, you get loads more extra features for it. It's not that much more, and you'll have wasted all your money on the junior one. Buy the pro one, or don't buy it at all.
Okay, good to know. I started from there, so I wouldn't have known that, but yeah, it's so amazing, and I like not having to leave Lightroom.
Yeah, no, buy the pro one, or don't buy it at all. That's the tip. Adam.
Yes, sir. All right. I'm going to kind of show you guys this. I just knocked all my little blocks out here. So this pick is a new system called Bloxels. So what you get is you get this 13 by 13 grid. It comes in a kit, $49 from bloxelbuilder.com. And what this thing is it is a side-scrolling video game development app for the iPad and iPhone. So what I'm actually building here is my level. The different colored blocks are going to represent different elements in the game. So the green is terrain, the blue is water, the reds are hazards. You can do power-ups and enemies. There's all kinds of different colored blocks. Oh, and then what you do is you get the Bloxel app on your iPad, and once you've built that out, you basically take a photo or you scan it in with your iPad, and it turns it into a 2D side-scrolling video game.
Oh, that's
and
disgusting.
Each panel represents a room in your game, and you can have 169 rooms in your game. So you start to build out all of these levels. And not only that, you use the same grid to design your characters, to design your backgrounds, your elements. You know, so if you want to put rewards, you can design all of those with that. And then you can also do all of this stuff inside the app. But it's really a lot more fun when you have the kit. So you take these physical things, and then you can test your app. And then also upload and share your levels and share your characters. And so it's basically a 13 by 13 bit, or I guess a 13-bit game technically, because it's a 13 by 13 grid. But it is a ton of fun, a great way to introduce game design and coding to kids. And it's $49 US.
I was going to say, it's kit. $50, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The app is free, so you can download the app and play around with it. You don't need, the physical part of it, but I think the physical part of it makes it a lot of fun. You know, it's great for kids to sit down and, you know, you can design your own little 13-bit characters that you can then animate and put into a custom game that you build on the iPad. And then it's playable on the iPad.
There's a pull down on the menu that says, how did you hear about this? And there isn't a Adam Christensen pull down.
yeah, and this is from the same company. They also did a game a couple years back called Floors, where you actually use graph paper. So it's the same company that put this together. But this just came out like this month, so they may be back ordered on these things because I think it's going to be hugely popular. Pixel Press is the name of the company.
So if you want to order it for the UK, then it's an extra $34 for shipping.
It's worth it. I mean, the thing I would have paid $100 for this easy.
Okay, well I've paid $83 for it, including shipping, and it's on it's on pre-order, and it's 7 to 21 days delivery on DHL Express.
Yeah, like I said, they're probably very much back ordered. They took a bunch of pre-orders, which is how I got it, and so you know it literally just came out the end of July here. So it was waiting for me when I got back from vacation. I was very excited.
They should be paying you for it. Well done, mate. I like that pick. I've bought it already.
you'll have a blast with it. Your kids will have a blast with it.
Light already. Excellent. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
My pick is something that you and even saw me pick up. It is the red Apple Watch band.
You bought it in Birmingham, in your Sully Hall store.
I bought it in Birmingham in the, what was the, Torchwood? Touchwood, not Torchwood. Touchwood.
Well, it needs to be Torchwood, but yeah, go on. Touchwood.
It has to be Torchwood. It is. I mean, I've tried third-party ones that are, I mean, a little bit too significantly cheaper, but really the quality isn't that good. The ones that I've seen. I mean, it really depends on what you want. And I really like the red. I like the product red, and I mean the quality is good. The only issue is, I think, for you and I don't think they sell even one that fits this wrist.
So the only problem is for fat bastards, there isn't one. Thanks, mate. No, we did comment about the fact that you can only seem to get the extra large in the black. And the thing is as well, and I showed this to Patrice and he was quite gobsmacked. So if I have the standard large, extra large, then I'm on the very last button on it. If I have the double XL, this version here, I'm on the second to first button from it. So it's almost too big for me. There's no happy medium, and you can only get it in black. It's like the Ford Ford Model T, mate. It's only available in black.
That is, I mean, I don't get that, because it shouldn't be a big issue to just create a million of them.
Quite right.
Yeah.
Victor, what have you got for us, a cool thing?
Well, I've got something that seems simple. It's called the Track R, and it is one of those dongles, speaking of dongles, that you can put on your keys, or in my case, the keys and the dog, and, you know, find them if you lose them. What's kind of unique about this one? It's got some nice two-way features. It's got a button on the device itself, so if you lose your phone, but you have your keys, it'll start making a sound on your phone, even if the phone is on silent. That's nice. The other thing is, it's got a pretty nice peer-to-peer network that's being built as they sell units, and so if my dog gets lost and he gets out of range of Bluetooth, which will happen quickly, then if someone else in the neighborhood or nearby is part of the network, it'll pick up the signal and then it'll know that it's me because I've registered and send me a message or where my dog was seen. So a nice little item for $30. I think I bought three of them for $60 plus shipping, and very thin, but size of a US half dollar, and so far they've been really good.
I bought those on Indiegogo. And I backed them originally when they first came out, the Track R Bravos. And it was one of those projects that's not actually, that they're an established company. And they've already done an Indiegogo. So they did another Indiegogo for the Bravo version. And I finally got it. And when I got it, they immediately said, oh, we've got a new version of the Track R coming out. Do you want to back it? And I'm like, hang on, I've only just bought, you've only just delivered the one a year later than you deliver it. And the other problem with it is they're crap. You can't hear them. They don't make a loud enough noise, and the connections to your screen, to your keys, breaks in a heartbeat. Ellis has trashed his already.
Interesting. Okay, well, I'll look out for that. I've had it for about a month, and I haven't had any problems so far.
I've gone through. I bought 10 on the backing, and I've gone through 6 of them already.
Oh no. Okay.
Sorry, mate. You're in for a
bad. No, it happens, man.
A bad old time of it. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me on the internet at D-O-C-R-O-C-K, just about anywhere or somewhere cracking out among the Poke Zombies in the state of Hawaii.
Stop downloading the porn, dude.
I'm not downloading anything.
You look like a black Jesus at the minute.
I am.
Yeah. Yes.
Watch me walk the water.
Good man. Drink. Turn the water into wine. Go on.
I'm going to step this game
You can
up.
Turn it into whiskey, good man. You can get Andy Inatco at Inatco on Twitter and CWOB.com, Celestial Weight of Bandwidth. Where are you, Adam?
You can find me over at MacCast.com and MacCast pretty much on any social media network. And then also on the iOS show at the iOSshow.com.
Good to have you back, buddy. Glad you're back. We missed you.
Yep, missed you too.
My brother from another mother, Patrice, where are you, sir?
As always, every week here on the Mac Show, and all the links and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. And Victor, where are you, sir?
You can find me at Twitter at Victor Cahiao. And if you don't mind, I have a brand new jazz CD available that Band on the Wall from Manchester called Gifted when they heard it. So you can pick that up at surrendermusic2016.com.
Send us one and we'll review it, mate. We'll be merciless, mind.
You count on it. You bet.
Okay, mate. That's great. Thank you. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next Friday with the Mac Show and the Big Show as normal, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. And hopefully it'll be a lot smoother than this week. Oh, dear. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.